Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, Health Matters, presented by SSM Health. Here's your host, KMOX Health Editor, Fred Bottomer.
Thanks a lot for joining us. I really do appreciate it. Hope you're having a great weekend. As always, a lot of good health topics to talk about this week, including new mammography guidelines, the ongoing nursing shortage in the United States in the St. Louis area, and a new virtual visit program being offered by SSM Health St. Louis. So let's get today's show started by talking with our co-host, Dr. Jennifer Wessels. Dr. Wessels is the VP of Medical Affairs for the SSM Health Medical Group. She's also a family medicine physician. Dr. Wessels, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you, Fred.
One new study we saw this week was from the World Health Organization. It had just issued its first ever guidelines on preventing dementia.
There's no sure way to prevent dementia, but the WHO says you can reduce the risks, and here's how. Exercise, don't smoke, eat a healthy diet, and go easy on the alcohol. If you suffer from high blood pressure, high cholesterol, or diabetes, proper medical treatment will also reduce your risk of cognitive decline. The WHO says there's no evidence vitamins and supplements help, and not enough evidence yet to say if cognitive training or social activity can stave off dementia. Vicki Barker, CBS News.
Doctor, what's your take on that?
Well, I think that's all spot on, Fred, and I think most of that is something that our primary care doctors have been telling our patients for decades. You know, eating healthy and exercise is one of the best ways to stay healthy, and that'll keep you at a healthy weight. Don't smoke and don't drink excessive alcohol is also something that we've talked about for decades, that it'll not only help prevent dementia, but a lot of other chronic diseases. So keeping your blood pressure in a good level, keeping your cholesterol down, keeping your blood sugar in a normal range too, are all great things that'll help prevent dementia. And really what it's doing is it's really making sure that your blood vessel health is normal, because really looking at blood flow to the brain and oxygenation to the brain is what's going to keep your memory and your thought processes functioning and working well and just as speedy as it was when you were younger.
What do you think about brain puzzles?
Well, Fred, I think that's something else that a lot of the medical community has been talking about for at least the last decade. There have been a lot of studies that have shown that puzzles of any type, jigsaw puzzles, crossword puzzles, really help with short-term memory, with mental speed, mental processes. Really, you can't go wrong. There's never going to be any harm to doing puzzles or brain twisters. It can really only help you. What we think happens is those types of puzzles really reinforce the existing connections already in the brain cells, in your neural pathways, and can also help create new connections. So really, it will help you maintain your memory and even sharpen your skills, especially later in life.
Earlier this week, we saw a new study released regarding cholesterol levels in children and teens. They're found to be improving, but only half of them had readings considered ideal.
The bad news, overall 7% of children had high cholesterol in surveys taken between 2009 and 2016. The good news, that was down from 10% a decade earlier, but about 1 in 4 teens had unhealthy levels of at least one type of blood fat. Researchers say childhood obesity is still a problem, but snacks are getting healthier, and that helps. The results are published in the Journal of the American Medical Association.
Do you see many young patients with high cholesterol?
Well, Fred, it is getting more and more common. This typically was pretty rare a few decades ago, but unfortunately with the increase in the obesity epidemic and the increase in the amount of sugary snacks and sodas and fast food that people consume, we're seeing higher and higher levels. Now, in children especially, a lot of that can be genetic, and if you're genetically predisposed to high cholesterol, so meaning your parents, your siblings, or grandparents have high cholesterol, you might want to think about getting their children screened with their primary care physician earlier a healthier diet, maintaining a healthy weight, though, and exercising are all going to help keep cholesterol levels low.
We're talking with Dr. Jennifer Wessels. She's the VP of Medical Affairs for SSM Health Medical Group. She's also a family medicine physician. I wanted to get your comments on this. There's a new report raising more questions about the daily use of low-dose aspirin.
A new study finds daily low-dose aspirin is linked to an increased risk for bleeding within the skull. The risk is highest for people with Asian backgrounds or low body mass index. 2 months ago, the American Heart Association shifted course on low-dose aspirin as a way to prevent heart attacks and strokes in older people after a clinical trial found it could be tied to major hemorrhages. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
What's your take on low-dose aspirin?
Sure, Fred. Well, the American Heart Association and the American College of Cardiology has recently talked about some new guidelines for low-dose aspirin. Now, what those guidelines say is that for people who are otherwise healthy and have a very low risk of heart attack or low risk of stroke, there's really no reason to take a low-dose daily aspirin. They really believe now that the risks of bleeding may outweigh the benefits that low-dose aspirin might provide. Now, you always want to talk to your doctor, though, before starting or stopping your aspirin. Now, those folks who are at high risk may still need to continue that regimen. So you'd still want to talk to your primary care physician or your cardiologist if you are using aspirin. If you are not, and you have low risk or you're younger than the age of 70, then you don't necessarily need a daily aspirin. We know now it could raise your risk of bleeding by up to 37%. Especially that risk is higher if you're over the age of 70. So really my advice to folks is really talk to your doctor before you either start or stop a low-dose aspirin because you might not need it.
Dr. Wessels, I also wanted to ask you about this new study we just saw about diet soda and the impact it has on your child's health and on your waistline.
Is diet soda ruining your diet? A new study in the journal Pediatric Obesity finds that kids in the U.S. who drink low-cal or zero-calorie sweetened drinks took in about 200 extra calories a day and even more calories from added sugars. In fact, researchers found that the group of kids drinking those kinds of drinks consumed more overall calories than the group that drank full sugar sweetened beverages. The lead researcher is saying there's a perception that having that diet soda to some can be like water, but the findings show that's really not the case. The study says exposing kids to water and getting them used to it will always be better than turning to that sweet alternative. Matt Piper, CBS News.
Dr. Wessels, what do you tell your patients about diet soft drinks?
Well, really, Fred, I tell people trying to avoid soda at all costs, whether that is regular soda or diet soda, is really going to be the healthiest for you. There's been a lot of different reports lately in terms of the health or safety of diet soda. We know that there are a lot of chemicals and artificial sweeteners in diet soda, and a lot of studies are really showing that it could really interfere with the body's ability to judge calorie content. In some studies, people who drink diet soda end up taking in more calories overall and thus gaining weight. So really my advice to my patients is it's better to drink water or unsweetened tea. Sweet tea and sugary juices can carry some of the same risks as soda because they still have high levels of sugar, high levels of sweetener in there. So really best to stick to plain water or water with lemon or lime in it and then plain unsweetened tea.
Dr. Wessels, we've talked before about electronic cigarettes and vaping. Now we're hearing that a major tobacco company has government approval for a new cigarette alternative.
The FDA has cleared the product called IQOS for sale in the U.S. Unlike vaping, the IQOS technology gently heats a tobacco stick, thus exposing users to almost as much nicotine but fewer toxins than a conventional cigarette and without generating either smoke or vapor. The FDA has yet to decide if advertisers can claim IQOS could reduce a smoker's risk of disease, and it's imposed restrictions on marketing it to teenagers or non-smokers. Vicki Barker, CBS News.
Dr. Wessels, what do you think about this alternative?
Well, for the FDA has this new device that says that it will heat but not burn tobacco. But the FDA also notes that this is not necessarily safe. So even by talking about this subject, they're not saying that it's a safe alternative. They're saying it most likely produces fewer byproducts than regular cigarettes. It is still producing some degree of byproducts, though, and is not necessarily completely safe. The use case really for this is in helping people quit smoking. So this should not be a new device that people use or want to start. This should really be helping them get away from cigarettes and stopping. But really, you should talk to your doctor for help to quit smoking, because they can offer you a lot of different alternatives and education.
Dr. Wessels, thanks again for all your help. Really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again at the end of the show with your health tip for the week.
Thank you, Fred. I appreciate it.
When we come back, we'll talk about some new mammogram guidelines just released by America's breast surgeons. You're listening to Health Matters, presented by SSM Health on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Now, back to Health Matters, presented by SSM Health on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
This is KMOX Health Editor Fred Bottomer. Thanks for joining us. America's breast surgeons have just come out with new mammogram guidelines. To find out what they are, we turn to Dr. Andrea Baer. She's a breast surgeon with the SSM Health Medical Group. She practices at St. Joseph Hospital in Lake St. Louis. Dr. Baer, thanks for joining us. Give us an idea what's in these new guidelines.
Sure. So the new position statement that just came out earlier this month is basically giving our recommendations based on a lot of data for when we should start screening and how we should screen different women. So first and foremost, women that are at average risk, that means people without a family history, are being recommended by our group to start annual screening mammogram at age 40 and to continue every year as long as their life expectancy is 10 years. Now, for a different group of average risk women, but women that have high density on their mammogram, and that's something that every woman is told after their mammogram, there are options for additional screening, such as ultrasound or MRI, that women can talk to their providers about. In another group of women, that is those women at higher risk of breast cancer because of factors like family history or possible genetic predisposition, it is recommended that you start screening mammogram earlier, as early as age 30, depending on what those risk factors are.
There's another unique part of these guidelines from the American Society of Breast Surgeons regarding risk assessment for younger women. Tell me about that.
Absolutely. So this is becoming a really important part of breast health, is assessing people as early as we kind of have the opportunity and as early as age 25 to see what their personal risk of breast cancer is. Now, this entails collecting and entering information on basically women's estrogen exposure. So things like when people started getting their menstrual cycle, when women go through menopause, any exogenous exposure to estrogen. And then another big component is your family history, including breast and ovarian cancer. And we have validated risk models where we can enter all this information in about someone, and it will give us an estimate of what their personal risk of breast cancer is. And depending on how high that risk is, screening guidelines change, including adding MRI to your mammogram every year, or possible other risk reduction opportunities. So if you come in for a mammogram at any of the breast centers at an SSM facility, for example, you'll have an opportunity to enter all of that information into a questionnaire and find out that result from yourself to see if you do meet that criteria for increased screening beyond just annual mammogram.
And the recommendation is for that to begin with all women at age 25?
Yes. So this can be something that you talk to your primary care physician about, sometimes may require being referred to a breast specialist such as myself, or as simple as entering this information into one of the calculators. Again, when you go to get a mammogram, or if you're not ready to get a mammogram yet, you can even do these types of things on the internet.
Now, these guidelines from the American Society of Breast Surgeons differ from those from a couple other groups, the influential U.S. Preventive Services Task Force and the American Cancer Society. Why the differences?
Yeah, that's correct. And I think the main difference is that the American Society of Breast Surgeons is really focusing on how can we save lives from breast cancer. And our focus is less on how can we save money, on not screening as many people. So I think that's where you see the main differences in recommending earlier screening and more frequent screening than some of those other guidelines.
How do women know which guidelines to follow?
it's really a discussion you have with your provider. There's very little harm to doing annual mammography, so I think a lot of the groups really do still support annual mammogram, and that's certainly a discussion that I have with my patients and currently recommend that annual mammography is the standard of care as long as your life expectancy is still 10 years.
So if you're a woman and you get a mammogram at age 40 or, say, 45 or your first one at age 50, depending on whose guidelines you follow, are they all covered by insurance?
I have not had any trouble getting patients' mammograms covered as early as age 40, and that includes Medicare and Medicaid guidelines.
We're talking with Dr. Andrea Baer. She's a breast surgeon with the SSM Health Medical Group. She practices at St. Joseph Hospital in Lake St. Louis. Dr. Baer, another one of the highlights of these guidelines from America's Breast Surgeons regards genetic testing. What are we talking about there?
Absolutely. So the newer consensus guideline this year is really trying to make genetic testing less of an exclusive test or a test of exclusion and really try to make it a more inclusive testing modality. Because the more we do genetic testing, the more we can learn about those gene abnormalities, which gives us a better opportunity to both treat cancer and, arguably more importantly, prevent cancer. So the consensus statement from the American Society of Breast Surgeons is recommending that any woman or man with a personal history of breast cancer be offered genetic testing. And this is a deviation from the previous criteria that each insurance company or the NCCN would put forward that had a lot of boxes that you needed to check in order to have insurance cover that testing. So our recommendation is that, again, all women with a personal history of breast cancer be offered testing, and that they, in addition, be offered what we call panel testing, which means not just looking at the BRCA genes, but looking at 30 or more different genes that we now know are associated with breast cancer. And this panel testing, another aspect of the guidelines or the consensus statement was that women with a history of having had genetic testing, which was likely only for BRCA if it was more than about 10 years ago, should be offered that updated panel testing where they can be tested for those additional genes that we have since discovered.
Do you have any tips for women that are considering genetic testing? How do they do it? Where do they go? That sort of thing?
The easiest place to start is always with your primary care provider or your gynecologist, and then from there, they will know who in their area specializes in this. For instance, I, as a breast surgeon, do the genetic testing in my office. There are also genetic counselors in the area, but your primary care should always be able to refer you to someone who can do the genetic testing.
How important is the genetic counseling? Because once you find out what genes you have, then you have to decide what to do about it, correct?
That's correct. And there's always a discussion had before you send off the testing about what the implications may be if you test positive. But by and large, I don't think that we should let that fear of finding positive genes keep us from encouraging people that need the testing to have the testing done. Because, again, the more we know, the better we can take care of patients and the better we can help our future generations to prevent cancer if they know that they carry these genes.
Dr. Baer, do you have a final word of advice to women when it comes to thinking about breast cancer?
Just don't be afraid to ask. I would say be forthright with your family members and also with your physicians about any history of breast cancer so that you can know your risk and know what we can do to help protect you.
Dr. Baer, thanks a lot. Really appreciate the help.
Oh, thanks for having me again.
Dr. Andrea Baer is a breast surgeon with SSM Health Medical Group at St. Joseph Hospital in Lake St. Louis. Well, coming up, we'll talk about the ongoing nursing shortage in the nation and in the St. Louis area. You're listening to Health Matters, presented by SSM Health on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Now, back to Health Matters, presented by SSM Health on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
This is KMOX Health Editor Fred Bottomer. Earlier this month, we celebrated National Nurses Week. Here to talk with us about that is Kathy Bonzer. She's the Regional Vice President of Nursing for SSM Health St. Louis. Kathy, before we talk about all the great things nurses do, let's start with the ongoing nursing shortage in this country. What are you hearing about that?
Well, there's a lot of data out there from the Department of Labor around the nursing shortage. And, you know, you think about you've got baby boomer nurses set to retire. you know, in the upcoming years. And I think one of the things that really contributes to the nursing shortage is the ability to be able to get nurses enrolled in programs. There's also faculty shortage, so that makes training nurses more challenging, obviously.
So, Kathy, what is it that SSM Health St. Louis does to make the nursing profession more enticing to potential candidates?
Yeah, I think one of the main things that I believe SSM Health does is really trying to create the environment for nurses to be able to do their very best work in a way that they feel supported and that they can really spend that time with their patients, because that's ultimately what nurses want to do. They want to be with their patients. They don't want to be, you know, trapped by, you know, tasks that don't add value. They really want to spend time at the bedside, talking with their patients, teaching, and getting them ready for the next part of their care, whether that's at home or at a skilled nursing facility or a rehab facility.
If I'm looking at these numbers right, Kathy, it appears that there's an 18% vacancy rate in the St. Louis area for nurses, but a 14.3% turnover rate. What's going on there?
Well, part of it has to do with, the vacancy rate has to do with just the candidate pool. The nursing schools have a challenge as well in finding enough faculty to be able to expand the number of enrollees that they have in their schools. So that makes it challenging for us here in St. Louis. You know, we've got people vying for, you know, a pretty narrow pool of nurses coming out of school here in the St. Louis region. I think the other factor that compounds the nursing shortage is that, you know, healthcare is changing. It's changing in a lot of different ways. Nurses have opportunity for jobs outside of the hospital setting. So we're not only competing for a smaller pool of available resources, but we also have to compete with different types of jobs that for some may be more appealing. It may be a job that they work Monday through Friday. There's no night shifts involved. There's no holidays involved. And those jobs are becoming more and more prevalent. And we do see nurses seeking those types of opportunities.
And I guess when it comes to the turnover rate at 14.3%, that's the second lowest turnover rate among the other regions in Missouri. So that's good news, right?
It is good news. I think that ties back with what I said earlier about, you know, when you hire somebody onto your team, you really want to make sure that you're nurturing them and developing them. One of the things that we're doing with SSM Health is we are putting together some professional development pathways for nurses who are interested in learning about different role opportunities so they can continue to develop as a registered nurse. So they don't, for us in SSM Health, we have multiple facilities, multiple ministries here in St. Louis. So we can move nurses freely within our system because we have the same electronic health records, same policies. So assimilating to a new culture is not that difficult. So if a nurse who starts on a medical surgical unit has a desire to work in the operating room, we have training programs that we can do that. So they don't actually have to go and find a job at another organization. We can do that within SSM Health. It may be at a different ministry, but we can certainly do that. So we've opened up multiple different pathways for nurses who are seeking opportunities such as that.
We're talking with Kathy Bonser. She's the Regional VP of Nursing for SSM Health St. Louis. Kathy, tell us, what do you see as the value of a good nurse?
Nurses bring so much value to the table. It's kind of hard to really put it into in a succinct way. One of the things that I think about a lot is just the ability to be present to the patient. This is what people want. People remember the nurse for the things that they are, whether they've shepherded them through a difficult procedure, they were there when they received challenging news, or a difficult diagnosis, for example. They're holding a dying patient's hand, comforting a grieving family member. We look at those moments in nursing as being really sacred, and while they're not easily measured, it's what makes nurses so special, and that is invaluable to not just the patient and the family who's receiving that, but to the nurse themselves. And it really, I think, inspires them to continue to do this very difficult work that is nursing. We also, I look at nurses and think of how the qualities that they possess that include, you have to be intelligent, you need to have amazing critical thinking skills, and a heck of a lot of courage. There are so many challenges flying at a nurse on a daily basis. I mean, they're really bombarded with information, you know, kind of overstimulated, frankly, by the end of their shift. But they stick with it. They can move from one situation to the next, stopping to catch their breath, maybe. But I can't really think of any other profession that does that. I mean, outside of others that work in the medical profession. And for us, in SSM Health, our mission is that through our exceptional healthcare services, we reveal the healing presence of God. That's our foundation. It's what compels us to keep the patient and family at the center of everything we do. We couple that with our core values of respect, compassion, community excellence, and stewardship. That's our framework. That's how we establish a sacred trust with our family. And I think about nurses as those special individuals that we rely upon every day to bring that mission to life.
Kathy, thanks a lot. Kathy Bonzer is the Regional Vice President of Nursing for SSM Health St. Louis. When we come back, we're going to talk about a brand new program SSM Health has launched in St. Louis. It's a virtual visit. It's basically going to an urgent care or a Walgreens clinic, but via your phone or tablet. And what makes this special is that it's available to anyone, regardless of their network affiliation or insurance. And anyone can use these for quick, easy, and affordable health care. We'll have more on that when we come back. You're listening to Health Matters, presented by SSM Health on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Now, back to Health Matters, presented by SSM Health on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
SSM Health St. Louis has just launched a new virtual visit program offering virtual visits for $25 apiece to anyone regardless of insurance. Here to talk with us about that is Erin Powell. She's the System Director of Retail Health for SSM Health. Erin, explain to our listeners what's going on here.
Sure. So this is a really exciting new offering to patients in the community. This allows a patient to have a visit with a medical provider using either their telephone, their tablet, or their personal computer at home. And what it allows them to do is via the internet to log on to our site, fill out a questionnaire that's specific to, you know, what is your chief complaint? What are the symptoms you're having? That's all sent over to a provider. And then depending on whether you're an established patient with SSM or you're a new patient to SSM, you'll either receive a phone call back from that provider or we will connect with you via video visit on your smartphone, laptop, or your computer, and we complete that visit that way. We are able to, diagnose and provide treatment, send a prescription to you via email in which you will choose the pharmacy of your choice that's in your key location, forward that on to them, and get your prescription filled if that's what's necessary. The joy of this is that you will do this all from the comfort from wherever you're at. If you want to do this at home, if you need to do it in the office, even via your car, hopefully not driving, but, it is convenient healthcare where you want it, when you want it, and very easy to access.
What are some of the conditions that can be treated in this way?
Sure. These visits are really meant for kind of your mild illness. So your cold, cough, and flu, urinary tract infections, eye infections, rashes, maybe some bug bites, things like that. Those just kind of common, really minor ailments that are, kind of more of a nuisance than they are anything, but we're able to provide that treatment really conveniently.
How quickly can a patient expect to get a call back on this, and what are the hours of operation?
Sure. Generally, our response time, we promise, absolutely less than 60 minutes. On average now, it's taking us around 15 minutes to respond back to a patient. The actual visit, once we get you on the phone or via the video visit, is around 1 to 5 minutes, so very, very quick. The actual interactive online questionnaire probably takes 5 minutes itself. So it's very, very brief, very convenient. Our hours of operation are 9 to 7:30 Monday through Friday and 10 to 4:30 on Saturday and Sunday. only close 2 days out of the year, and that is on Christmas Day and Thanksgiving. So very, very convenient hours of operation, and open a lot, and certainly the non-traditional hours, which is always really important.
What happens if you get a patient who has a health concern that you can't address?
Sure. So when you first start to fill out the survey, there are a few health conditions that automatically prevent you from going forward with a video visit. So that's any patient that's currently receiving chemotherapy or that has had an immunosuppressive disease like HIV or has had any transplant, any of those really serious health conditions where you really need to be partnering with your primary health provider for all of your needs. So that is the first piece that prevents you. But once you start to fill out that questionnaire, if we start to get in and there are questions being asked and it appears that your illness is just too severe for us to handle, we give the option where we can actually call you back and we will help get you scheduled and set up into the appropriate venue of care. So if you need to go to an urgent care or an SSM Express clinic at Walgreens or even to get you into a primary care physician, we can do that all for you via phone. If you prefer not to have us call you back, those other options are also available right there on our website where you can log in and make an appointment. So we ensure that our patients get placed in the appropriate venue of care and that you're not left wondering, well, what do I do now? They can't see me. We will help guide you through every aspect.
In that case, is there still a charge for the online visit?
There is not. There is not. So the only time you're charged is if we are able to complete that visit and provide a plan of care for you. The nice thing is our charge for being seen via a virtual visit is $25. That's $25 regardless of whether you have insurance or not. That is just a flat fee. So this really makes this option accessible and very, very affordable as well.
We're talking with Erin Powell. She's the System Director of Retail Health for SSM Health. Erin, is this the wave of the future?
Absolutely. I think our patients, and I always refer to them these days, always our patients first and foremost, but I also refer to them as consumers of healthcare. Our consumers have options. I think that patients are telling us what it is they want and how they want to receive healthcare these days. And they want it to be convenient. They want it to be interactive. They want to use technology that's making other aspects of their life so easy. So we're really stepping up to answer to the demands of our consumers and patients and, you know, giving them what it is that they want and helping them, you know, kind of take control and make decisions around their healthcare and how they're treated.
And what does this say about the vision of the mission-based SSM Health?
I think that it aligns really well with our mission, and that is that we want to provide healthcare for all. So this is making it easily accessible and affordable, and that's so important in this day and age when healthcare prices are rising and deductibles for patients and their out-of-pocket continues to rise, giving people really you know, other options that are very, very affordable is really important to us as a healthcare organization. We want healthcare to be accessible to all. We want there to be ease of access for all. And we want people to feel confident in the healthcare that they're getting. SSM is a trusted healthcare system in St. Louis and in multiple states as well. And, you know, so we are proud to be able to bring a product forward that continues to be, you know, part of our healthcare system.
What are the age limits for these patients?
Sure. We see any patient age 2 to 75.
All right. And then just remind us again, what do you actually need if you're a patient who wants to have a virtual visit? What sort of setup
Sure.
do you need?
You know, you can use your smartphone. You could use a tablet. You could use your personal computer. You simply log on to ssmhealth.com/virtual visit. And it will take you right in to start a visit. And if you're, again, one of our established patients, so you've been seen with an SSM within the last year, you'll simply receive a phone call back from a provider discussing your plan of care. If you are new to the system, you will have to have the ability to have a video visit. So that's either a camera on your PC or on your tablet, or obviously the camera from your phone. So any of those work very well. I should mention, you do need to have either a strong internet connection or strong data connection. Those two obviously are very important.
And this service is available to anyone?
This service is available to anyone in the Missouri area, yes.
Regardless of their healthcare network affiliation or insurance?
Absolutely. It is a $25 fee regardless of insurance. So insurance is never billed for this. It is purely a cash and carry item. So $25 at the time of service.
Are you getting much response to this so far, or is this too new?
No, absolutely we are. We went live February 4th, and we have continued to see our volume grow day over day. You know, I think these type of services are ideal in a number of ways. You know, I've given lots of different examples. That really busy mom who's at home and she's got three little kids and she's just feeling awful. She's got a sinus infection or her allergies are bothering her. But the thought of, you know, pulling three little kids together, getting them in the car and trying to get over to her physician's office, it's a dreaded thought, and sometimes it prevents people from moving forward with the health care they need because it's so difficult. I have a daughter who's away at college, and she calls and says, oh, my gosh, Mom, I think I have pink eye, but I have an exam today, and I've got to get this paper turned in an hour. I can't go sit in the clinic. Works perfect for her. That, you know, that working executive that, you know, he is booked all day long throughout the day, how is he going to, you know, find time to get in to see the doctor? Or even that senior that's at home and says, you know, I just don't want to go anywhere. I just want to do this, you know, from home. So the options are endless for who this product will work for.
Erin, thanks Absolutely. A lot. Appreciate your time.
No problem. Thank you for your time.
Erin Powell is the System Director of Retail Health for SSM Health. Now, if you want to learn more about these virtual visits, log on to ssmhealth.com/virtual visit. That's ssmhealth.com/virtual visit. And now for this week's health tip. It's all about cardiac risk and avid sports fans. As the Blues advance to the final round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, a word of warning to sports fans with heart conditions.
Sports really can raise those emotions, and those emotional highs and lows can trigger heart attacks.
SLU care cardiologist Dr. Michael Lim at SSM Health St. Louis University Hospital.
Cortisol and or adrenaline, which is basically the same thing, increases your heart rate, increases your blood pressure, and can be one of those things that causes a plaque in a coronary artery to rupture. And that's the nitis for what happens when somebody has a heart attack.
So what should we do?
The best thing to do is to try to pay attention to your body. So if you all of a sudden, during a sporting event or during the next round of the playoffs, experience chest pressure or pain, sick to your stomach, can't breathe, these are things to pay attention to. It's possible that you could be having a heart attack. You need to get to your local hospital as fast as possible.
And that's all the time we have for this week's show. Thanks so much for listening. I really do appreciate it. This is KMOX Health Editor Fred Bottomer. Please join us again next time for another edition of Health Matters, presented by SSM Health on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.